Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show live and local in the Bay and around the world at KGORadio.com. We have a great story for you tonight. Now, this coming May will mark 3 years since Jodi Arias. Remember all of that? That was like the soap opera that would not stop giving, was convicted of the murder of Travis Alexander. As it turns out, the prison sentence wasn't her last punishment. And on the line with me is Kirk Nurmi. And Kirk Nurmi was her, you were her public defender, is that right?
Well, I was originally assigned when I was a public defender. And as the story goes, I left that job to start a private practice. And the court ordered me to stay on the case. So I was kind of her quasi-public defender, if you will, even though I was in private practice. And that kind of gets to the title of my book, Trapped with Miss Arias, because I was in a situation where I was kind of trapped to...
You had no choice.
To her case, yeah. The court ordered me to retain her case as I went into private practice. In my book, kind of tells the tale of that assignment and things that go forward. And this is part one of three books, actually, that are going to detail the involvement in the case, because it was 5.5 years of my life.
Wow. It was such an infamous, huge, monster murder trial. And I think what made it different was because, I guess you can tell the story better than I, but because it was actually this woman who seemed to be quite intelligent, and how could she ever do such a horrific thing? Would you explain the crime to everyone?
Well, I mean, the situation was that, for people that didn't follow the trial super closely, is that Jodi Arias and Travis Alexander, they met in 2006. At a convention for Prepaid Legal, which is a marketing company that Mr. Alexander was working for, and Miss Arias was interested in maybe becoming more involved in. And the relationship moved on from there, and Travis was a member of the Mormon faith, and he got Miss Arias involved in there. But they, you know, they also had a very, what might call a clandestine sexual relationship, an intense sexual relationship that kind of lasted close to the time they began and all the way up until the exact day of his death.
Okay, so then Travis was murdered, and the murder itself was hideous. I mean, 27, 28 stab wounds. Can you describe some of that?
Sure, and it certainly was. As someone who's, I've been a criminal defense attorney for about 15 years now, and it's certainly one of the most horrific set of crime scene photos I'd ever seen. Poor Mr. Alexander was stabbed 27 times. He had his throat slit. There was a big stab to his chest, and he was shot in the face.
Wow. Okay, so
blood everywhere.
So, Kirk, I have to ask you, I mean, so as the public defender, you're assigned this case and you think to yourself, well, I've got to defend her. How did that start from the very beginning? Was she standoffish? Did she want you to defend her?
Well, the part of the backstory is that, you know, I was the second attorney assigned to the case. It was in another public defense agency with a couple other public defenders. And it got moved to me, and I got this case when it was, you know, a year or so old. This is at a time when she'd already done a couple interviews with CBS 48 Hours.
Okay.
And so, you know, it kind of fell in my lap, and we were close to trial. And certainly, I mean, you know, she was ultimately fighting for her life. And then my job as capital defense attorney is to ultimately to save her life, to ensure she doesn't go on death row.
So when you met up with her, had she already made the defense claim that she did murder him, but in self-defense?
Well, I don't want to go into specifics because, but you know, we know on the CBS 48 Hours, she was talking about these intruders. I don't know how familiar you are with that or not. Then ultimately, I talk in the book about how ultimately the story became one of self-defense.
Okay,
so that is the story she was telling you.
Well, ultimately, I can't go into the specifics of what she was telling me because it's confidential. But I can say that is the story that she talked about with the psychologist and the story that she came forward at trial.
Okay, so she told police that two intruders had broken into Alexander's home, murdering him and attacking her. And Arias told police that she killed Alexander. And that she killed Alexander in self-defense, claiming that she had been then that was, you know, twisted around. Oh, well, now, wait a second. Let me try this. I'm a victim of domestic violence, so that's why I killed him.
Well, what she said is that he attacked her on that day, that he attacked her on June 4th, 2008. That was her ultimate claim at trial.
And, you know, we're talking about Jodi Arias, who was from Salinas, California. She's in jail. What was her sentence, by the way, Mr. Nerman?
Life. Without parole.
Life without parole.
Yes.
Okay. Maybe you can describe it. What's it like when you, as a public defender, you get this case and you know damn well she's lying? Maybe not, you can't speak specifically to her, but anyone.
Well, what was your first impression of her?
Okay, well, we got two questions.
Let's generalize.
My first impression of Ms. Arias was certainly that she was a unique client in the sense that she was a female, she was 30 years old, and she had no criminal history. Now, and apart from that, she was led a relatively, quote unquote, normal life. I mean, she owned a home, she paid a mortgage, she owned a car, she made car payments, things that may sound normal to you and I, but it's certainly abnormal in the world of capital defendants.
Right. And
so
reading just background, you know, through publications and Nancy Grace and listening to all of this, that and the other, you can tell me whether I'm right or wrong, or you can't comment, that she really only went out with this guy a few times. That's what I read or understood. Or were they having a relationship? It seems that they were having somewhat of a physical relationship, but not an elongated relationship, right?
No, that's not correct. You might be thinking of another individual. When she met Travis Alexander in 2006, they immediately kind of went down the path of a romantic relationship. They were boyfriend and girlfriend for probably 4 to 5 months. They traveled the country. They went to some Mormon historical sites.
Okay.
They went to conventions together. They had quite a lengthy and involved relationship.
Okay, well, let's hold it right there, and we'll continue with this story. And we're talking to Kirk Nerme. He is the author of Trapped with Ms. Arias and this unbelievable story of Jodi Arias. And we'll continue in just a minute with the conversation on KGO A10. You're listening to the Trex Radio Show on KGO A10. And this is a very interesting conversation. If you love NCIS, if you're a 48 Hours fan, if you watch Nancy Grace, boy, this is your hour.
Well, a lot of people followed this trial from the get-go anyway. People were glued to it. I mean, it was made for the tabloids, right, Kirk Nerme?
It turned out to be the case, certainly. I mean, when we walked into the courtroom on January 2nd, 2013, the world was watching, and it became, you know, I referred to it in an article I wrote recently as the Jodi Arias Show, and it became a hit.
Yeah, it had everything. Youth, attractiveness, the brutality of the crime, the lies and drama and constant story changing is just made for, you know, like Lifetime, et cetera. And in fact, there is a Lifetime movie about it. And sort of her stalkery behavior. And then a lot of strange sexual stories came out of the case, et cetera, et cetera. The cameras loved her and her antics. And she's even back in the news this week, right? Are you surprised?
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, I will say this. You're referring to this her calling a guard a, a C block, if you will. And, you know, in some ways I'm surprised because, you know, Miss Arias, our county sheriff, went and said that she was a, you know, well-behaved inmate. It doesn't mean she was without infractions, but she was really well-behaved now. But, you know, apparently maybe the frustration of prison and her confinement there might be getting to her. It's hard to say.
Well, and she's locked up for life in prison, Jody Arias is. She was convicted of first-degree murder, right, and life without parole, if you're just joining us.
And she's in solitary, which is really bad, as I learned from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is she? Well, she can't be in solitary all the time, can she, McKirknormy?
No, she would get an hour out, but certainly when someone is initially transferred to the prison, there's a classification system, and their restrictions, their privileges are greatly reduced. So, you know, she's got a chance to get out, get some exercise, make some phone calls, that sort of thing, but not much more than that. And now that's going to be curtailed due to
and
her,
obviously she was
language.
Able to get a friend to tweet on her behalf something about the recent incident.
Yeah, recently, yes. About
I didn't see the tweet, but I know even maybe a week or so before that we had the Radar Online story where the phone call with the supposed rap star was recorded and placed on Radar Online.
Oh, so, my, that's always a thing nowadays.
She just can't stop, can she?
Well, I guess. If you think about it from her perspective, I mean, there's no parole there. It's life in prison. So what does she have to lose?
Well, she lost contact visits.
Yeah, I guess there
so
is that.
They
I suppose.
Can take more away from her.
Jody Arias is the topic, and the public defender, McKirknormy, is the guest. Trapped with Ms. Arias is the name of the book. You can get it on Amazon. And we continue our conversation. Now, you were the public defender and she didn't want you to defend her. What happened when that happened? Was there another defender that stepped in, or did she have no choice but to stick with you?
No, I mean, that's kind of a series of events going back to 2011. When I left the public defender's office, I wanted to leave her case behind, and the court said no. And then as things progressed down the road, she was asking for other counsel after making quite a case as to why I should be forced to stay on her case. And then, you know, a year or so later, she decided she did not want me as an attorney. And the court said, no, he is your attorney, and that is that. And so we proceeded through the whole 5.5-year ordeal.
Wow. And I bet she was she cooperating with you at some point? I mean, what were you saying to her? Look, I mean, you know, look, I'm trying my best here. You know, you got to cooperate, or did she not want to cooperate with you?
Well, you know, I can't get into our communication.
Okay.
That's problem.
Privilege.
That's kind
right.
of where I'm limited
yeah,
here. That's privilege.
Right. And I certainly understand that.
You're not a psychiatrist, but in your conversations with her, did you start to feel that perhaps there was something wrong with her a little bit, or that she might fit into a DSM profile?
Well, I make the case in my book, and prior to doing death penalty work, I did a lot of work on people accused of sex crimes, and certainly not all people are guilty, some aren't, but she fits a profile to me as an amateur psychologist, I guess, of someone who was a victim of childhood sexual abuse.
Really?
And I describe why and the mannerisms and the manipulation and some of the qualities I saw in her really spoke to me that is what had happened. Now, there's no DSM-4 diagnosis that says, you know, victim of childhood sexual abuse. But there were all kinds of things surrounding it that came out at the trial, the post-traumatic stress disorder, the possible diagnosis that the state's doctor made of borderline personality disorder, things like that that can also be associated with childhood sexual abuse. So that was always my theory that I couldn't prove, but one that I still believe to this day.
And I know that she believed that her IQ was measured. If it would be measured, it would be in the area of Albert Einstein. So she thought perhaps she could get away with this. So
well,
the story
know,
goes.
I suppose anybody who commits any crime never thinks that they're going to get caught and held to account. That's my experience as a criminal defense attorney anyway. Few really think that they're going to get caught.
That's amazing to me, especially as horrendous and horrific as this murder was. Travis Alexander sustained 27 to 29 stab wounds to his throat. It had been slit, and then a gunshot wound to the head. I don't know how you could be involved in a situation like that, let alone commit it, and think that you're going to get away with it.
Well, you know, I've heard the county attorney in recent interviews, Mr. Martinez, who prosecuted the case, thinks that she might very well have had the cameras with the the photographs with the nude pictures not been found on the camera, because that's what placed her at the scene.
Yes, that was the damning evidence. Is that correct? I mean, that's sort of the way it all came together.
Her cookie crumbled.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think certainly that made it obvious that she was there and that they were there together.
Okay.
Now there's other bits of evidence that speak to that as well.
Okay, let's hold it right there with the bits of evidence. And when we come back, I also want to speak to the overall tragedy of this situation here with Jodi Arias from Salinas, California, who's locked up for life now without parole, who killed Travis Alexander on June 4th of 2008, played out all around the world. We'll continue our conversation with Kirk Nurmi coming up on the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10. You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGOA 10, and my guest this evening is Kirk Nurmi. You may not know him, but you will if you read the book, Trapped with Ms. Arias. Does Jodi Arias ring a bell? By the way, you can get his book at Amazon Books, just on Amazon, Trapped with Ms. Arias. Yes, and we're discussing the infamous murder of Travis Alexander, and she's now serving life in prison without parole. And he was her public defender. And we left off with the, as Heather put it, the way the cookie crumbled were photographs that were found on a camera of the crime scene. Am I correct?
Yeah, I mean, that was certainly the big piece of evidence, because it put her in Travis's home, which she had previously denied.
Yeah.
And it put them there together, because one of the pictures included a picture of Mr. Alexander, and it was obvious that the two were having a sexual tryst on that afternoon, probably about 4 hours before his death.
It's a digital camera, right? So there's a time imprint. So it's not like, oh, that happened some other day, right?
Right. There was a time imprint. It was on a SD card. There was sound in the camera. So, yeah, there was little doubt that it was at a particular date and time.
Even though she denied it, I mean, she didn't want anything to do with it. Then she said that somebody broke into the house, and then it was domestic abuse.
And not that I'm planning to murder an ex or anything like that, but as a girlfriend, your DNA being around the house would make sense, but wasn't some of hers found in a blood stain or something like that?
Well, you're right. I mean, there was a mixture, and that's when I talk about the other bit of damning evidence. It wasn't just that her DNA was found, but that it was mixed. So there was a blood mixture between Miss Arias and Mr. Alexander found in various parts of the bathroom, particularly the hallway.
Okay.
This entire trial with Jodi Arias, as I was speaking to earlier, it just became this national sensation, this worldwide circus. And I don't know, Kirk, as you, in retrospect, why do you think it became, I'm using that word circus, why do you think it became such an ordeal?
Well, you know, when people ask me that, and I always kind of throw the question back at the members of the media, why do you think? I mean, because, you know, I was in the eye of the storm, right?
Right.
I mean, I'm trying to worry about my case and keeping my client alive. I'm not really thinking about why there's so much interest, but certainly there's the things that we've already mentioned, right? The sex, the nude photographs. I mean, I've done a bunch of cases, and this is the only case where the victim and the perpetrator are – having sex a few hours and taking nude photographs of each other before the murder happens, you know? So it was unique in that regard. And I think, you know, some people view Miss Arias as attractive, and I think there's the Mormon element and the illicit sex. It just mm-hmm. like
right.
what you've been saying.
Yeah, how could this be happening? Yeah, I see that.
You know, a perfect storm, if you will. And,
oh, yeah.
And I think, yeah, and I think certainly there's a contradiction, too, that I think is fascinating to people because, you know, she was, you look at her and you don't think that she's capable of the kind of killing that took place. I mean, that's the kind of thing we would attribute to someone who looks like Charles Manson.
27
right?
to 29 stab wounds to the throat, had been slit and suffered a gunshot wound to the head. Yes, horrific. Did you save her from the death penalty?
Yes.
Okay.
No
I was just curious
it.
About that. Yeah.
Well, kudos.
Yeah. Okay, so let's, we've got a few minutes left. Let's speak about the overall tragedy of not only, you know, what happened, obviously with Travis Alexander and his family, my God, it's just horrific. But the whole Jodi Arias ordeal and the trial.
Well, you know, and I'm glad you brought that up, and I appreciate having the time because, you know, so many times we talk about so many different aspects of this case, you know, and there's so many that interest so many people. But, you know, I hate to talk about the case and the fascinating and salacious aspects of it without touching on the reality that there was a tragedy here. I mean, a beloved young man lost his life, and he has friends and family that are suffering because of it. But not only that, you know, we have Miss Arias' family who is also suffering a loss as well. And it's just, I write in my book, one of the things that I hope to accomplish in putting the truth of the story out there is for people to learn something and to back away from these toxic relationships. We had a murder-suicide here in Phoenix of two high school girls who were in a toxic relationship. They weren't even out of high school, and they're now both dead. And just because they could not find a way to remove themselves from this relationship. And if there's anything that I can accomplish from this book, it might be to just help somebody just back away from a relationship like
but
this.
But don't you, it seems to me that Travis did, and that's exactly what sort of ended up getting him killed because, you know, hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, right?
Well, I don't know that I'd agree with that because if you're trying to back away from a relationship, you probably don't have that person in your bed taking photographs of them, right?
Mm, good point.
Well, that whole ex-sex thing.
I mean,
right.
To each their own. You
know,
right? Wrong. Whatever you're into, it's fine. But you know what I'm saying.
I'm not
evidencing the idea of you want to distance yourself from this person.
Yes, but
right.
You know, when you look at the medical examiner's report and when that medical examiner testified, my God, it was just absolutely horrific. So, I mean, your takeaway on all of this as you reflect back on, you know, one of the biggest trials of our day, Jodi Arias.
Boy, that's a big question.
Well, we got a minute.
Like I say, my big there's so many takeaways. It was such a sensation. I think it means, you know, there's so much about social media and the way trials are covered in the future that I think will be affected mm-hmm. by the Arias trial. The amount of publicity, the live streaming, the worldwide sensation, how that can lead to threats upon people, threats upon jurors. The whole thing, I think, set a standard for dealing with social media as we move forward. Because years ago, courts were not dealing with this during trials. And now every court that has a case that might be high profile has to consider how are we going to deal with all these issues.
Yeah.
How are
fantastic.
We going to deal with the outside influences?
Yeah,
well, and
it's
you've got TMZ running in and putting cameras in everybody's faces. Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
But he's right about the social media. Okay, the book is Trapped with Ms. Arias, and Kirk Nurmi is the author. It's linked at KGORadio.com. Thank you for your time, sir, and I wish you a great rest of the week.
Thank you. I enjoyed my time with you both.
You're listening to the Drex Radio Show on KGO 810.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.